Easter is coming up, and I just can't wait to have the whole family in one place. And of course, what's Easter without an awesome Easter brunch? Now, I don't know about your family, but mine is a little picky, and I really wanted to impress them with something delicious. A friend told me I should check out Total Wine & More. It was crazy! They must have every wine and beer imaginable. I told one of their friendly experts my situation, and they found me just the thing. This sparkling wine is going to be absolutely perfect for brunch, even with my picky family. I know next time I need something, I'm shopping at Total Wine and More.
Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to New Mexico West Prepping on the Contra Radio Network, preparing today to survive the day after. I'm your host, Brian.
And I'm your co-host, Eric.
All right, I'd like to welcome everybody to New Mexico West Prepping tonight. This show is going to be on bug-out bag essentials. Now, let me preface this by saying that there is no correct list for an all-out encompassing list of what has to go into your bug-out bag. With that being said, there are many different ideas as to what you should have in your bug-out bag. What you should have in your bug-out bag is a bug-out bag that is personalized to your area and your weather. A bug-out bag that is good here in New Mexico will not be good in Anchorage, Alaska. And one for Anchorage, Alaska will not be good in Jacksonville, Florida. So grab a cup of coffee, a beer, shot of whiskey, your favorite mixed drink. Grab yourself a notebook and your favorite chair and join us as we break into bug-out bag essentials. With that being said, let's start off with some current events, current news going on. One of the things I wanted to touch bases on, I actually posted on my Facebook page, and you can go out by there's a new map of the radiation released by NOAA that shows the entire globe, and we should be all happy to know that radiation from Fukushima is starting to reach the coast of Africa, since they're right next to each other. If you zoom out far enough, you can cover it with one finger. that being said, that is not a good situation. Radiation from Fukushima is going to cause catastrophic events worldwide. I actually, right after that, went and showed a live video stream of people swimming in the ocean in Hawaii, completely oblivious to the 40 to 60 sieverts an hour that they're receiving from that water. So, you know, thank God the news is covering all that, right? That being said, also, Pacific fisheries, salmon fisheries, crab fields are disappearing. The show that I was listening to, they were unexpectedly disappearing. I'm not sure where they could be going. I can't imagine that the 60-odd sieverts an hour that they're receiving is not having some effect on the fisheries up there. So that being said, watch what you eat. Even if you're in Florida, if you're getting wild-caught Pacific salmon, it's coming from right on out there. And you can go do a Google search salmon caught in Pacific with sores. That'll give you some awesome images. There you go. Yeah, not what I'd want to be eating. All right, on to the next one. The economy is still doing horrible. I know that's a shocker to everybody, but amazingly enough, it still has not gotten any better. Greece is actually on the verge of another financial crisis. That's mostly because they just pushed off the financial crisis they were dealing with before and never actually dealt with it. They cannot meet the repayment schedule. 86 billion euros due in July. They said that they couldn't make it. They were not going to be able to make that payment, and they need a fresh bailout, funds from the European Union and or the International Monetary Funds, because borrowing directly on global capital markets comes at too high a cost. In other words, they have to pay it back. So they're going to get it, you know, they're going to try and get it from the European Union. And who knows what, you know, how that's going to play out. The IMF is pointing out that Greece cannot possibly live up to Germany's demands. And even if it did, the country would not be able to repay its outstanding debt burden, which at last count stood at 181% of Greece's gross domestic product. The IMF went on to hint that Greece may have to leave the Eurozone. I don't know if that's actually a bad thing or not. So that's exciting. The world or global financial situation right now is something that I've been listening to a whole bunch of shows this last week on. There's some very prominent global economists that are predicting doom and gloom to large extents based off of what they're saying that they're suggesting could happen to the global economy based on the trends that we're dealing with now. The United States, which if the United States were to crash, would cause catastrophic events to unfold worldwide. And the United States is nowhere near where it can actually support itself or stand up for itself. Do you want to add anything to that, Eric?
The stocks closed at record highs again.
And there's actually something interesting about that. If you actually look at the stock market is tied to U.S. debt. The stock market was at 10,000. U.S. debt was at 10 trillion. Stock market was at 8,000. U.S. debt was at 8 trillion. Stock market's at, would you say 21,000?
Hold on.
Ding, 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 ding. Okay.
I can't find anything on it.
Okay, so it's near 21,000. Last time I saw it was like 20,900 and something. It may have broken 21,000. Either way, I'd be willing to lay money. If you go look at the U.S. debt, we are at 21 trillion or close to 21 trillion in debt. So, you know, it's it coincides, and there's a whole lot of interesting speculation as to why that coincides. That would take up an entire show. Tonight's show is only going to be 1 hour. I have some things I have to take care of, and I've been working some ridiculously long hours. I haven't had a day off in 3 weeks, so we're going to do an hour tonight so I can catch up on some paperwork for work. Ah, gotta love paperwork. Anyway, and you know, with that being said, let's go ahead and delve into bug out bags. All right, now the list that I'm going down is actually from, there's a link to prepperforums.net, full-size bug out bag checklist.pdf. It is a free PDF that anyone can download. They can make it, you know, they don't have a problem with you downloading it, sharing it, give it away, throw it away, make airplanes out of it. you know, it's a relatively decent list. It's a basic list. There are things on here that we'll discuss that I'm kind of like, yeah, maybe. But there's things on here that aren't on here that would take more precedence in, like, say, a southern environment as opposed to, like, a northern environment. So let's get started with this. We have personal hygiene, all right? Dental floss, toothbrush, toothpaste, hand sanitizer, pocket wipes is what they recommend. we actually keep a small jar or a small bottle of the antibacterial hand sanitizer. Toilet paper, that is a key. That's super important. I cannot stress how important toilet paper is. You may not know that, but That toilet paper is going to be really important. The first time you got to use the bathroom and you're out there and the closest thing is a couple of leaves.
You don't want to be stuck out there like, what am I supposed to do now? Well, I guess I used my hands. They did it back in...
1200s, 1300s.
Yeah.
cotton balls, Q-tips, lye soap, yes and no. I'm not a big one on carrying soap, but something else to keep in mind is that our bug out bags aren't just bug out bags. I keep one in my work truck. And the, Tim Rance has a good one there. Toilet paper with a small container of hand sanitizer stuck inside the cardboard tube is very, very good for space constraints. But I keep my bug out bag in my work truck. So it doesn't have everything that I would have to come home because it's my get home bag too. I have to come home, throw some other stuff in there, and then take off. And that being said, there are 100 different people who will give you 100 different reasons why they think that the backpack they've picked is the correct backpack. Pick all the thing I'm going to say is pick a backpack that's comfortable. Pick one that has enough space to hold everything. And remember that you're not bringing the kitchen sink. If you are, well, you're going to be sore about a mile into your walk. You need something that's going to fit comfortably on your back. It's going to be able to carry everything you need, and doesn't cost $1,000 to buy, unless you're rich. And again, like I said the last time I made that comment, if you're rich and you're listening, we do take donations because we are not rich. So, Tim says a backpack with a hefty waist belt. The lumbar supported backpacks are good to as well for carrying that stuff. Lye soap, like I said, I'm not a big one on carrying soap. biggest reason is because at our house in the mountains, we have lots of soap and toilet paper and everything else. So all we need to take is the bare necessities for what we need to get there.
We do have to worry about getting some more toilet paper, though. We did have that crack in the water.
Yes, we had 5 damaged rolls of toilet paper, so I'm going to have to go out and buy 144 more rolls to replace them. Everyone's like, wait, it only got 5 damaged. I'm like, no, you don't understand. We have to replace those 5 with 144 because they come in packs of 72. So anyway, a small pack of pocket tissues. There again, I'm not as big on pocket tissues because, well, I have a couple of rolls of toilet paper. And toilet paper in a pinch works just like pocket tissues. feminine hygiene products, those are important. If you're traveling with a female, you need to make sure that you have some of that stuff in their bag. Otherwise, it will never fail. Murphy's Law will kick in, and you will get halfway to wherever you're going to, and it will be that time of the month. So Gary says his has fire starter, hand warmer, and a good first aid kit. feminine hygiene products are important. Guys tend to not think about that stuff, and if your significant other is not really on board 100% or not as on board as you'd hoped or would like, you may end up being the one packing some of that stuff. And if you are, make sure you pick some of that up. Shaving cream. I saw this on here, and I couldn't really fathom why you would have shaving cream. So that's something that I'm going to have to look into because I can't imagine it's for shaving. I'm all for letting it grow if the end of the world happens. Tim says he has 3 bags in his SUV, his get-home bag, a bigger bug-out bag, and a comfort bag. I have just the 1 bag in my work truck, and, of course, my family has all their bags. My son is sitting here looking at his and holding it up, waving it at me. there's a lot of other things that you can utilize, as well. You don't have to just carry a backpack. Something else you can keep in mind if you're going to be traveling over relatively fair terrain or if you have somebody helping you, one of those little trailers for a bicycle works very well. They're very light, They roll real good. They can carry 100, 150 pounds, and you're not carrying that weight. You're pulling it, so it makes it a little easier. That being said, our bug out bag, in the event that the vehicles don't run, it consists of bicycles anyway. So that's another whole kettle of fish. All right, mouthwash, small comb, tweezers. Tweezers are important to have. You will get slivers no matter what you're doing. Never fails. a small magnifying glass, which can be used for finding said splinters. It can also serve dual purpose as a fire starter. Lip balm is more of a Southwest thing. I suppose if it's the middle of the winter and there's, you know, you get that snow burn. But most places in the north and the east, northeast, northwest, lip balm's not as important as it is in the south. Now, this is one that just flabbergasted me on this list. Portable toilet. I saw this and I was just like, really? Someone's going to carry a portable toilet? No, I am not going to carry a portable toilet. So there again, like I said, this list comes from prepperlog.com. And the link is in the show notes. It's a downloadable PDF, so it is editable. So you can take out that portable toilet, which I don't recommend, simply for weight constraints. I don't understand, you know, what you would need a portable toilet for. Tim Rance has a good pair of leather mechanics type gloves, which can also cover leather work gloves. Sunscreen. Sunscreen is super important. Southwest, northeast, doesn't matter where. The sun is going to be out. More in the south than in the north. All right, on to fire and warmth. Waterproof matches, paraffin wax to waterproof your matches. Lacquer nail polish, which also works to waterproof matches. A fire steel, cotton ball soaked in petroleum oil or petroleum jelly, I mean. That's actually a very good fire starter. Tim Rance makes a good point. Make sure the leather gloves, synthetic leather, will melt when exposed to heat. I have FR or Arc Blast rated leather gloves. So. Those are important too. If you want to go that route, if you really want to get into that kind of stuff, go with the Arc Blast rating. The Arc Blast rated gloves will protect your hands from flash electric burns, which can get very upwards of 30,000 degrees. Just make sure you get the right Arc rating. You don't need the leather gloves that are 4 inches thick. You want the Arc Flash 0 or 1 rating, minor 0 rated. They'll do your basic electrical work. cotton balls soaked in petroleum jelly is a very good thing to have. Real simple way to carry a fire starter. Steel wool for fire starting.
On Amazon, they have Stormproof Match Kit with Waterproof Case by UCO. They have 24 or 25 Stormproof matches for $8.63.
There you go. You can also waterproof your matches by dipping them in paraffin wax or covering them with lacquered nail polish, a thin layer. And then when you go to strike it, the lacquer falls off and your match still works. Dryer lint with petroleum jelly works great too, Tim Rant says, which is a good point. It does. steel wool for fire starting is a very good fire starter. If you've ever had a steel wool pad and a 9-volt battery, you have a raging inferno. pocket warmers, pocket hand warmers are good for wintertime. A lot of this stuff isn't really – we have pocket warmers. We also have the boot warmers somewhere. I'd have to go look for them up because they're not in our bug out bags. But we do have them someplace because I've seen them. Emergency blankets are – my son holds up. Tim Rance posted a link to a good lighter in the chat. Excuse me, sorry. Still recovering from that cold. The weather outside today was Yesterday was 75 degrees. Today it was 30 degrees, and tomorrow it's supposed to be 65. So I'm sure I'll be sick again. All right, skull cap, toboggan, hat with a brim. The hat with the brim would be more of a southern thing, whereas the skull cap or the toboggan would be more of a northern thing. It does get chilly down here in the evening times, but if you are, if you've ever been in the north, chilly down here is like summertime temperatures up there. So, emergency long burning candles, blankets. We have emergency blankets in ours because they're super lightweight and they work really, really, really good. And you can buy a 10 pack of them for like $8 on Amazon. Was it Amazon or eBay we got this up, babe?
What?
The 10 pack of blankets.
Amazon.
There you go. And it was Amazon Prime shipping. There you go. Free shipping to your door next day. All right. On to the next section, first aid. First aid has a relatively in-depth list, and I agree with everything. There's a few things that aren't on this list that we'll get to, but antibiotic ointment, hydrocortisone, gauze pads, an assorted non-stick sterile, etc., cloth tape, antiseptic wipe packs. That's like your alcohol wipes, which you can get for super, super cheap. Don't buy the first aid ones. Just get the regular alcohol wipes. They're the same thing. They all hurt no matter what you do with them. Scissors, paramedic style. Those are important for cutting things, clothing, stuff like that. Breakproof non-glass and non-mercury thermometer. I don't recommend electric, the digital ones, simply because I'm sorry, it was $7.30. But it was an add-on item, so you had to buy a bunch of other stuff to get it, $25 worth of stuff. But it was $7.30 for 10 emergency blankets. That's those silver ones that are all flimsy but work really, really good. So I wouldn't really recommend those blankets for, say, Alaska or even Wisconsin or Montana. But if you're in the South, super light, not a lot of weight, work really good. Let's see, where was I? Band-Aids, assorted, knuckle, finger, butterfly, small, medium, large. If you're like me and my family, pack lots of them. Pink bismuth, that would be for the rest of us, that would be Pepto-Bismol. They have those in tablet form. The tablets are lighter than the liquid. Bring the tablets, not the liquid. Ammonia inhalants. Ammonia inhalants are important if somebody passes out or if you're trying to resuscitate somebody. And yes, Tim Rand says emergency blankets are waterproof too, which they are. Ammonia inhalants are a very important, often overlooked item for first aid kits. Cough drops, so that you can deal with these head colds like I have right now. Tylenol and aspirin and ibuprofen. Plastic gloves. Constipation, laxative tablets, because when you get stressed, sometimes it affects your regular flow. And you don't have any of that stuff they advertise on TV. What is they always advertise for the regular flow stuff? Metamucil. And yes, Benadryl is a must. especially if you're allergic to things like bees and you don't happen to have an EpiPen, or you realize your EpiPen only lasts for 12 months, and Murphy's Law would have it that at the 11-month and 29-day mark, the end of the world happens and you haven't replaced it. So, yes, Benadryl is super important. Something else is arm splints, fingers, wrist supports, things like that. They're all lightweight. They're super important. If you need one, having an arm splint or a finger splint or a wrist bandage is trust me, if you don't have one, you're going to wish you did. So those are important things. Instant ice packs. Those are important for keeping swelling down, for twisted ankles, things like that. Illuminated emergency card with known allergies, contact, blood type, name, and address. I'm sorry, laminated, not illuminated. Laminated. yes and no. A lot of people carry that kind of information in their wallet, so it's less important to keep in your bug out bag. My wife keeps a list of medications and stuff she's on in her purse. So it's just a matter of dumping the purse into the bug out bag. My son's over here whipping out his wallet that is in his bug out bag. He's all excited about that fact because he hasn't lost his wallet yet, only because he keeps it in the bug out bag. If he kept it in his back pocket, it'd been gone 2 days after he got it. Safe. There you go. That actually leads to a good point, though. Important papers and stuff. If you don't have a safe or some kind of a lockbox, a bug out bag is a very good location to keep that stuff because you always know exactly where it's at. All right. Oh, look at there. Emergency Mylar blanket. instant hot pack. Cold and sinus tablets, which, yep, I need some of those. I keep a stockpile of those in the refrigerator and the cabinet and the truck, in the car, in the bedroom. I think I have about 40 different packs of cold pills in my house.
Just about everywhere.
Something about having to deal with sandy weather. The wind down here gets going and you'll be blowing sandboxes out of your nose for a week afterwards.
And it's not as bad up at our property because all the trees.
That is correct. Yep, trees kind of slow that down. Instant eye wash. That's a super important one. You get something in your eyeball and you're out there and you don't have anything to wash your eye out with except for your water you're going to be drinking. That's no good. The instant eye wash is a little squeeze bottle. Tim Rand says cash. Need some cash. That's important. Yes, it is. And Gary Maul says, and a great knife and hatchet. Yep. A machete comes in handy, too, for cleaning brush along the way. And they happen to have a 18-inch machete at Walmart for like $23 with a real nice paracord handle. Burn relief aerosol, alcohol prep pads, antibiotics, eye drops, and personal medications. and a folding saw is actually what we have. We don't have a hatchet. Tim Rand said he dropped the weight of the hatchet for a good folding saw. On the flip side, the hatchet can be used as a weapon, which is a little bit more intimidating than a folding saw. So if I run out of shotgun shells and my machete is not intimidating enough, you know, you've got a hatchet too. There again, a lot of that is weight constraints. If you are 120 pounds soaking wet, you're going to be able to carry a lot less than if you're, you know, 6'5", 240 pounds, you know, and go to the gym 7 times a week. Which that's not me, by the way. That is not me. Just throwing that out there. I'm like 200 pounds and 5'9".
Didn't you say about 280?
280.
That's Jesse.
Oh, wait, throw Jesse's name out there. He'll be happy to know he's known around the world as, yeah. Anyway, no, I'm about 205. So, food and water, power bars. I have a whole lot of power bars because they're high in calories. They're high in, they have added vitamins and minerals, and they will keep you going for the short jaunt to your property. Now, our short jaunt, that being said, is actually going to take us about a week and a half to get there. So it's not as short as some would be. I think it's 14 days walking, 2 weeks, 11 days. Eric's on that one. He's going to look that up real quick for us. Portable water purification tablets. I do not have portable water purification tablets. I have, we have two life straws. That's a total of 200,000 gallons of good clean water. So MRE packs or dehydrated foods. Dehydrated foods we also have because they're light, relatively light in weight, and they go a long ways, and the power bars will not suffice you for everything that you need. Bottled water. There again, I have a life straw, so we carry a minimal amount of water because I have a good map that shows where all the clearings and pastures are, and around here, there is a whole lot of cattle. So and there's not a lot of trees. One good thing about the Southwest, not a lot of trees, a whole lot of cattle. You can see a windmill from 5 miles. And, you know, that's really important. Tim Rant says Katydine Hiker water filter. All right, salt, spices, sugar, Gatorade. Gatorade would be the powdered Gatorade, not the bottles, unless you're like, you know, that 6'5", 240-pound dude. Textured vegetable protein. I have, until I saw this list. Now, I'm going to get some flack for this, but I'd never really looked into textured vegetable protein. And I honestly really have no clue what it is, which means I'm probably not a true prepper. There you go. I fired myself. Yes, and a map and not a compass are essential, which we have four compasses and a very, very in-depth map with altitudes and topography. It shows all the little ponds and creeks and places like that. Tim Rant says he takes a bunch of protein powder. So I'll ask Tim when he's in the chat room, is protein powder the same as textured vegetable protein? Because I've had protein powder when I used to lift weights. But yeah, Slim Jims is something else that they recommend.
On Google Maps, it says it would take about 5 days to get to our property from my exact location. But
okay,
that's nonstop.
Right, so that's, you're not going to walk nonstop. You're going to walk about 10 hours a day. So that's about 11 days is what I worked out. I'm going to have to look into that textured vegetable protein because I don't know what that is. Yeah, Tim Rant says he guesses. I'd never heard of it before, so that's something I'll have to look into. There again, like I said, I have fired myself from prepper status because of my lack of knowledge. So I'm going to turn the show over to you, Eric. It's all you.
What was it again? Textured what?
Vegetable protein.
Vegetable protein? Okay, hold on. I'm looking this up right now.
Okay, on to the next one, shelter. Paracord, 7 strand, 100 feet. Paracord is handy for 1,000 different things you can use it for. I cannot recommend it enough. Waterproof tarps. We have a waterproof tarp that we keep in the box in the back of my truck. I have a toolbox back there next to the 50-gallon gas tank. So the tarp is actually, we have two tarps in there, I think. At least we did have two. I think I used one. I know I have one that's unopened in there. Gore-Tex parka. Gore-Tex is awesome. Wet weather, rain gear, super important. The last thing you want to do is be walking in the middle of a rainstorm and be drenched and soaking wet because, A, you're going to be sick. B, Tim Rant says it's soy protein. So I'm going to have to look into that.
I guess it's like a replacement for meat then is what it says on here.
Yeah, that's what it would be. Yep. Yeah, I just never heard of it before. So he said Tim says they call it a meat extender. So I'll have to look into that. If it's relatively lightweight and easy to carry and doesn't cost $1 million, I may stock up on some of that. Back to what I was saying, Gore-Tex, wet weather gear, things like that are super important. The last thing you want to be doing is walking to your property through a torrential downpour, and you know it'll happen. Murphy's Law. You may not get rain but one time a year. You may be like in the middle of the desert, and it does not fail. You will be – yeah, that'd be Tim Rant says, as that sounds wrong. So we're just not going to go into the whole, yes, meat extender. Anyway, keep it PG rated, guys. like I was saying, it may only rain one time a year where you live at, but it Murphy's Law will kick in. And when you have to walk to your property, or to your bug out location, wherever it's at, you will get the most torrential downpour that you've ever seen. You know, it'd be like a hurricane coming through the desert. Excuse me, sorry. So, wet weather gear is important. It says a pocket umbrella. I'm not so big on the umbrella if you've got wet weather gear, unless you don't keep your stuff in your backpack in Ziploc baggies. I recommend you put your stuff in your backpack in Ziploc baggies. That way you don't have to worry about that. Tim Rant says he has a pre-strung sill nylon tarp. You string it between two trees and stake it out in under a minute. The only problem with that is in the southwest here, those two trees are about 400 feet across from each other. There's not a lot of forests around here. A whole lot of tall grass. trees are far and few between. An umbrella is great for backpacking, Tim. But, you know, if you've got wet weather gear and you got all your stuff in Ziploc baggies so it's not going to get damaged, then, you know, it's less of a requirement. It says a tube tent, four-season tent, Gore-Tex sleeping bag, and a full-size umbrella. Now, there again with the umbrella. A full-size umbrella I could lean towards, and that's more because it can be used as a walking stick as well as an umbrella. So it serves dual purposes. It's not just an umbrella. A pup tent, some kind of structure for sleeping in. There again, you want to be comfortable. At the same time, you don't want to bring, you know, everything and the kitchen sink. So, yes, I believe you're correct, Tim Rantz. Tim says he thinks the prepper and backpacking community keep Ziploc in business. And that is probably a pretty factual statement there. On a side note, I'm going to post a link to that updated Fukushima map in the chat for y'all to go examine that. And you can see that the radiation from Fukushima has gotten all the way to Africa, which just, I mean, it just flabbergasts me. I mean, it's not going to be long before the entire planet's, you know, glowing. But anyway, all right. The next section we have is weapons, protection, and defense. Tank. Oh, wait, no, it says various common caliber ammunition. Tank would be much better, though. You guys, think what you could do with a tank.
Until it breaks down, and then you're basically canned meat.
No, then you hope you make it to your property with it.
Because it will resort to that then. Cannibalism. It'll get bad.
I'm watching you, buddy. I am watching you.
I'm not talking about, like, the people inside the tank. I'm talking about the people outside of it.
I'm
the
watching
people that
you,
don't
buddy.
Prepare for it.
Warning label out there. Warning sticker. Warning. Wee, 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 wee. Danger, Will Robinson. Watch your family when they make comments like that. You could be on the menu. All right. It says various common caliber ammunition. I do not agree with that. It says 22, 357, 5.56, 223, which those are the same. 12-gauge pellets, CO2 tubes. I disagree with that simply because there's no point in taking bullets if you don't have the gun for it. You know, my wife has a 410 shotgun that we'll be bringing with us to the property. The rest of the weapons that we have are already there. 410 is a small shotgun. It'll serve its purpose up close. We also are getting ready to get a 270 that'll reach out and touch somebody from a distance. Yeah, Tim says all that ammo, you're going to need a wheelbarrow. That's what I was saying. So, yeah, there again, like I said.
We have the compound bow that's still here, but that's going up to the property sometime.
Yeah, and we have two compound bows. And we're getting ready to get a 270 as well, so you can reach out and say hello from a distance. Combo hunting survival gun. I do not, unless you are financially well off, I do not recommend buying one of the combo hunting survival guns. That's your AR-7, they have some breakdown single shot shotguns. They're just not, to me, they're not that valuable of an acquisition. You know, they're small, yes, they're lightweight, yes, but you know, if you can't carry a single rifle, then you need to go exercise more. I mean, what does a shotgun weigh? About 5 pounds? 4 or 5 pounds?
Just about. It was the one that mom maybe has, like, it was like really easy to carry.
Yeah, that 410. Yeah, exactly. Tim Rance's AR-7 is a last-ditch item. Yes, they are. And they're not super accurate. They're not, I mean, they're just, they're okay, I guess. They're like a pound and a half, maybe 2 pounds tops. But that little 410 my wife has, you know, you're looking at, it can't weigh more than 4 pounds, you know, and that's going to do you a lot. But it's a Mossberg, too, so it's a good quality one. And it holds 6+1. Anyway, back to what I was saying. Personal defense gun. Yes, I do recommend that. A pellet gun for silent hunting. That actually is a wise acquisition to have to take with you to your bug out location. Tripwire, flares, ballistic vest. No, I disagree with the ballistic vest. Not because, it's not a handy thing to have, but because of weight constraints and the fact that those ballistic vests are not comfortable. If you have ever worn one, they are not comfortable. And if you're going to be walking any distance and you're not used to walking, the last thing you need to do is start wearing stuff that's uncomfortable. Kevlar gloves and a Kevlar helmet. There again, let's just fall right back into that. You don't want to look like the army popping over the hill, because you're going to run into like Bubba and Leroy and Billy Bob and Jimbo, and they're going to be like, that guy's got gear, and they're going to come take it from you. You just want to look like people. You don't want to stand out. You want to, and it's hard to say that because, you know, you're going through the middle of the fields and woods and stuff, but you don't want to look like, you know, a one-man army walking through the freaking tall grass. Exactly. Go gray. You know, you want to be that gray man. You want to be the guy that doesn't stand out. And you better believe that there's going to be a whole lot of refugees and people exiting, a mass exodus of the city. So you will blend in relatively well. You know, tools, multifunction tool, super important. Put it on your belt. Foldable army style shovel. Let me just say that the foldable army style shovel. Yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that big sigh right there. Okay. They are what they are. It's lightweight. It folds. It's a shovel. If you're digging a trench or a fighting position, yep, you need it. But you know what? Do you really need a foldable army shovel when you're walking, you know, 80 miles to your property? Are you going to be digging a trench? Are you going to be digging a fighting position? Don't get me wrong. I liked them. I had two or three of them for a while. I think I still have one somewhere.
You can use it to dig up the hole so that if you got to go to the bathroom or chop down a couple sticks.
We have a saw, a folding saw, a machete.
Okay,
and
well,
sorry,
yeah.
Go lean against that tree over there. We're not digging a hole for you, buddy.
You can get it for $23.99 on Amazon.
Yeah, exactly. Tim says that you can dig a cat hole with a tent stake or a rock. You know, you can dig it with the point of that freaking umbrella you're carrying. It says a belt axe. There again, I don't have a hatchet or an axe, mostly because machetes are more multi-use and folding saws are easier to carry. Pliers, screwdriver, Allen wrench. I could see throwing a pack of Allen wrenches in there. Tim says the cold steel e-tool can dig and use like a machete. The cold steel one is still not going to be as good as a tried and true machete, for like using like a machete. And honestly, if you're just using your bug out bag, you know, if you want to put one at your bug out location, then yeah, you know, go for it. I myself have like 4 shovels at our property in the mountains. So, you know, I just don't see the use along the way. Duct tape, that can come in handy. Bolt cutters. I have a set of handheld bolt cutters that are about 8 inches long that are perfect for cutting through fences and stuff like that. I do not recommend the full-size bolt cutters unless you're carrying like bicycles or something with you and you can strap it to your bicycles. just simply because of the weight and the bulk of them. They're bulky, they're cumbersome, and you know how many bolts you're going to need to cut. If you can't, you know, climb through that fence, or you can't use the 8-inch long bolt cutters for it, then you know, you probably need to figure out what you're doing wrong, because you're doing something wrong. The AK bayonet has a wire cutter built into it. So does the there's a couple of bayonets out there that have the wire cutters built into them. There's another one, I can't think which one it was for, but there's another one out there with it. Am I still there?
Yeah.
Okay, I accidentally pressed buttons on my headphone here.
You didn't go quiet or anything like that. Like,
no,
it didn't stop the sentence.
Right. Lock picking tools. Lock picking tool set is an awesome addition if you know how to use it. If you don't know how to use it, don't go buy one and just throw it in there and figure you'll figure it out when it comes time to use it. You know, because if you throw it in there and you're thinking, oh, I'll figure out how to use it when we need it. No, you won't. You'll get out there, you'll be like, what do I do with this thing? And by that point, it's rained. And of course, you didn't have your lockpick set in a Ziploc baggie, because Murphy's Law kicks in there, and you didn't do that. And now the book is all stuck together, and you go to open it up, and all the pages fall out, and they can't read it. Now you got a piece of something you can throw at people.
I watched YouTube videos on how to do it, and it's like really complicated looking. You
gotta
like
lockpicking is not. Yep.
You gotta hit each pin very like independently, and then
yeah,
once you get it's
not easy. It is not easy to utilize a lockpick set to hit all the tumblers on a lock and open a lock. That being said, if you can do it, and if you do some research, and I'm not saying go buy one right now if you want. Go buy one right now, and then spend the next 6 months working on it, because it's going to take you a while to master the art. It's not something that comes overnight, and that's what I'm getting at. Don't just buy one and throw it in there and figure that you're going to figure it out later. Miscellaneous leather care kit. There again, if it takes us so long to get to my property in the mountains or your bug out location or wherever you're going that you need a leather care kit, you have issues.
One, you should have bought a property a little bit closer than where you actually live, so you can actually be able to get there and not like run out of supplies also, because you're not going to fit everything in your bug out bag.
Yep. Yeah, needles, thread, earth tone spray paint. I'm not sure why you would need earth tone spray paint unless you're planning on spray painting yourself. I suppose you could spray paint your tarp.
Camouflage.
Mosquito bug spray. This list comes from prepperlog.com, and it's actually a pretty good list except for some of the miscellaneous stuff. And I think it's more of that kind of stuff is geared towards their area. There again, like I said, this is a PDF, downloadable PDF that you can go in there and make adjustments. Mosquito and bug spray, 12-hour light sticks, those are all good things. Assorted batteries. Okay, let's just say no. No, we do not need to carry assorted batteries. What we do need to carry is a flashlight that has a rechargeable battery on it, and one of those little small solar panels, one of those little tiny ones. And whenever you set up your tent and you're taking a freaking break in the afternoon, set up your tarp, whatever, you know, put your little solar panel out there and it charges up your battery packs. And yes, one size battery. You want to get batteries that fit everything, not just one device.
We have a flashlight that's like extremely bright too. It's got a rechargeable battery, two of them actually.
Yes.
We never seem to have them charged all the time though. I always go in and ask for the flashlight, and you're like,
do you know why this is?
because we never actually.
Because you always go in there to ask for the flashlight, run the battery dead, and then bring it back and don't put it on charge.
I don't know why
that
it won't turn on.
a good headlight is a good addition, yes. It says MERS perimeter alarms. Those are handy if you have enough people to carry them. I don't know exactly what these people are carrying their bug out bags with, but a shortwave radio is handy. A portable CB radio, again, handy. A crank or solar radio, that's handy too. Shake flashlights. Those are okay. They have limited light, though. They only work for a very limited amount of time. GPS with solar charger. That is super handy to have. With that being said, don't think that just because you have a GPS, you don't need to learn how to read a map and don't need to learn how to read a map and compass. Fishing gear. It has a whole list of fishing gear here. I'm not going to go through the whole list of fishing gear. It's just a whole list of fishing gear. Where we live at down here, the closest standing water that you're going to find most times is a cattle pond, and you really don't want to eat anything out of there. Fishing line with a couple of those snap poppers that they use for triple arms, those work real good. But there again, like I said, out here, there's nothing to attach it to because, well, a whole lot of grass and not a lot of trees. That being said, this list was put together for the area that they are in. It is not going to be perfect for the area you're in. It is a good starting point. With that being said, you need to find a list, put a list together, and customize that list to your area. Like I said earlier, a bug out bag that's made for Alaska will do you absolutely zero good if you're bugging out from Florida, from Jacksonville, Florida. And a bug out bag that's made for Connecticut, again, will do you zero good if you're bugging out from San Diego, California. And, at the same time, a bug out bag for Jacksonville, Florida will do you very little good if you're bugging out from, say, Albuquerque, New Mexico. So you need to take into consideration where you're at and what your environment is like. And then you need to design your bag around that. Bug out bags are important. They serve a great purpose. They do not serve the "I'm going to carry everything with me to my property" purpose. That is not what they're for. They are to carry the basic minimums, clothing, first aid, flashlights, miscellaneous stuff like that, so that you can get to where your bug out location is. If you do not have a bug out location, then you probably really don't, unless you're planning on bugging out to the forest and building a hut in the forest, you need to take all that into consideration. You may want to get a couple of bigger saws, hacksaw, 12-inch saw. And that's exactly it. Tim says you need to have everything staged at your bug out location. We have our property in the mountains, and we have everything down here to get us there. But there we have food for 9 months. We have 5,000 gallons of water stockpiled. We have all the basic necessities you're going to need: seeds and fertilizers and water filters and all that stuff. It's all there. You shouldn't be carrying all that stuff with you. That's not what your bug out bag is for. So with that being said, we have about 6 minutes to go on this show. I apologize that it's a short show tonight, but it was a brief covering of bug out bags, and I think we hit the essentials.
Don't forget the shirts and jackets and stuff.
Yep. And John is still trying to get that to order together for the Contra Radio Network shirts. So if you're interested in getting some, shoot him an email at contraradio@live.com. Tim Rance says lots of people don't realize what bug out bags are for, and that's just it. So, bug out bags aren't to carry everything you're going to need to live for the rest of your life. They're made and designed for the purpose of getting you to your bug out location. If you have, and this is something that I discussed earlier, if you have a bicycle, go invest $80 in one of those trailers for your bicycle. You can carry so much more stuff with that little trailer. Now, that being said, if you are going to be going off-road, make sure you get the puncture-proof tires and the slime tires and the off-road bike. You don't want a typical 10 speed to be going, you know, like a road racing bike to be going cross country, and because you're not going to make it very far. But a good mountain bike with run, you know, with the run flat tires, the foam tires, and the foam foam inserts. There we go. Sorry.
And
foam
inserts. The rubber tubes that you can get too. The solid core.
That's the foam. That's the foam I'm talking about. The foam and the rubber core, same thing. The foam inserts, rubber cores, and one of those little trailers, and you can carry a whole lot of stuff at a relatively quick pace across the middle of nowhere. So keep that in mind. With that being said, I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight on New Mexico West Prepping, where we are preparing today to survive the day after, whether the day after is the day after you lose your job, the day after a tornado, an earthquake, the end of the world as we know it, an EMP, you name it. The day after doesn't have to be the most horrible event. If you lose your job and you have no preparations, you're going to be in a world of hurts. So I just like to say thank you for everyone for listening. Join us next week. What are we discussing next week, Eric?
We'll have to talk about that.
All right. Well, we will update everyone this week over as to what we're going to be discussing. But thank you as well, Tim. And thank you, Gary, for joining us in the chat room. And God bless everyone.
Welcome to Total Wine & More. It's much more than a wine store. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
When people talk about Total Wine & More, they get a little carried away. We're just a big, friendly place run by people with a passion for wine and beer. See, we travel the world to find the best wines from the best regions, and we sell them at the lowest prices anywhere.
And friendly, helpful experts at every turn.
You know what? Maybe we are the eighth wonder of the world.
Shop in-store or online at TotalWine.com.
Easter is coming up, and I just can't wait to have the whole family in one place. And of course, what's Easter without an awesome Easter brunch? Now, I don't know about your family, but mine is a little picky, and I really wanted to impress them with something delicious. A friend told me I should check out Total Wine & More. It was crazy. They must have every wine and beer imaginable. I told one of their friendly experts my situation, and they found me just the thing. This sparkling wine is going to be absolutely perfect for brunch, even with my picky family. I know next time I need something, I'm shopping at Total Wine & More. And more.